Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Sha'arei Arliyum Chaf Tas Tishrei, moving into Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, which is Friday of Shabbos and Shabbos. We are learning the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and we're actually saying it's coming up to her third Yahrzeit, right? So her neshama should continue to have an aliyah. Should be a Meitz Yashar for her whole family, and in the schus of our continuous Torah, which meets weekly, it should really be a schus for her neshama, and for her family. We are on page 71 of the second Sefer. Welcome back. In order for a concept to be absorbed in the soul, not just the mind, you must repeat it again and again. And I think that when we are off routine, for me, myself, I don't know why, when we're so busy in the kitchen, and I find it harder to... not to remember Hashem Chas V'Shalom. I find it harder with the absence of the learning to focus on the goal more. I find it harder to focus on the goal. You have to repeat it again and again. From a well-known story told of Rabbi Akiva, we learn how to make a truth penetrate into the heart. We know this Medrash, when at the age of 40, he had given up on any chance of really learning Torah, he came to a well. The water had worn a hole, a stone, the water made a hole in the stone over a long period of time. And Rabbi Akiva said, if water, which is soft, can bore a hole in stone, which is hard, surely words of Torah can bore a hole in my heart. Or I just skipped a little because we discussed this already. Rabbi Akiva saw that over a period of many years, there was a hole made in the rock. You don't bore a hole in a rock with a strong stream of water. Over time, drop by drop. For our purposes, there's the simple knowledge that is their creator, and you have to repeat it again and again. With that, we're really just reviewing, ladies. You can break through the heart of stone. And keep in mind, last time we spoke about a heart of stone, and Rav Wasserman says about the heart of stone being Moshe Mashiach. Okay. We must take these ideas and live with them. Even if you need to repeat this fact to yourself for half a year or a year, and I think you need to repeat it over the course of your whole life, not a half a year or not a year. I told you, we once spoke about it in depth, but what my son's therapist said to me when I thought I had to do like therapy homework, you know, for a half hour a day, and it was when he was very young, and she said to me, Michal, it's not like half an hour a day. Life is therapy. This is a continuous avodah for always, and that really is what it is in our avodah shem, where we're on schedule, where we're off schedule, when it's the weekday, when it's the weekend, when it's the kids are in school, the kids are off school, I'm in the kitchen, I'm out of the kitchen, whatever you're doing, it's something that needs to be repeated again and again. We need to talk to Hashem, and we need to remind ourselves of Hashem, and there is a creator, and the water can slowly, slowly drip into my heart. It's very interesting, you know, you can read the same Rashi 10 times and not notice something, I don't know why, and then Baruch Bokech, every one time you do notice something, but Rashi tells us in the first Rashi to the book of Bereishis, Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph, Bereishis Bar Elokim Esa Shamayim Vesa Aretz, so it's very interesting. Verse 1 is an overview. There's creation and earth. You're about to read about the creation in heaven and earth, like a prologue, so to speak. Pasuk Beis tells you that there's nothing. There's tohu and vohu and choshech al pnei tohom. There's a chaos and a primordial darkness and a void and a confusion. But then it says that the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the water. That's very interesting. Has water been created yet? What do you mean the surface of God is hovering over the surface of the water? Where's water? The first thing Hashem created is in Pasuk Gimel, and that is, Vayihi Or, let there be light, and there was light. So how could the Pasuk tell me that the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the water? And Rashi actually tells us that you learn, Halamada, tell you that you learn, Shakadmu Hamayim La'aretz, that the water actually preceded the creation of the earth. So, Sefer Bereishis is certainly the most Maisa Bereishis, the most esoteric parts of the Torah Kedoshah. We can't understand fully. When we say the tip of the iceberg, we mean less than the tip of a very large iceberg. But one pshat, perhaps, is, what does it mean, Mayim preceded all of creation? Well, we know, Masech Avodah Zarah 5b, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Water is a metaphor for Torah. So if you take that statement of Chazal, Mayim, that Mayim preceded the creation of everything else, well, if water is Torah, then you could say Torah preceded everything else. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Zohar tells us, Histaka ba'oraisa uvara alma, the Ribbono Shel Olam had a blueprint. Just like an architect has a blueprint to create his world, so Hashem had a blueprint. What was the blueprint? Histaka ba'oraisa, he looked in his Torah uvara alma, and he created the world. The waters of Torah preceded all of creation. It has been here since the beginning of time until the end of time, in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, looked in the Torah for instructions as to how to create. So certainly we have to constantly go back to the source. Water is considered a source. We have to go back to the source constantly to learn how to recreate. Tell you something interesting. I don't think I said it here. I don't know if I said it anywhere yet. And I noticed it over Yom Kippur. It talks about, since I mentioned water, it talks about when Hashem actually puts the seas and the oceans together. One second, please. Vayikra Elokim la Yabasha Eretz. Elokim called the dry land land. Ule mikveh hamayim kara yamim. What does that mean? Ule mikveh hamayim kara yamim. Well, first of all, it's the word mikveh. Ule mikveh mayim. So, but what does it mean? How do you translate it? The pools of water. What did we say? The gatherings or the pools of water. He called the seas. And Hashem saw that it was good. So I don't know, maybe you know this, and it just never occurred to me before. The pasuk of the David, the kapitel of the David Hashem Uri V'Yishi that we said for more than 40 days. We began on Rosh Chodesh Alo, kapitel Chav Zayin, and we ended Shmini Atzer Simchas Torah, depending on your minhag. Ends with Kaveh Hashem, Chazak V'Amitzibecha V'Kaveh Hashem. What does Kaveh mean? Hope. What does Mikva really mean? What? Hope. The Mikva Mayim, it's hope. Rabbi Akiva says the very last Mishnah in Maseches Yuma that Hashem is the Mikveh Yisrael. Ashreichem Yisrael, mi mitahar eschem. Your fortune is who is mitahar, who purifies you. Says that Hashem is the Mikveh of Yisrael. It's very beautiful. It actually has a very deep meaning. When we put our hope in the Ribono Shel Olam, that is what purifies us, and that is what cleanses us, and that is what makes us tahar. Once again, did anyone know that? This is not a trick question. I'm asking a serious question. That Mikveh, which is described as a pool or a gathering of water, which is what brings tahara. The root word of mikveh, kaveh, is hope. I'm asking if you knew that.
No, I didn't know.
It's cool, no? It's amazing. It's very beautiful. It means that through the repurification of this person, there is hope for change. You were tameh. Now you go to the mikveh. Now you're tahar. There is hope for a new beginning. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the mikveh Yisrael. He is the hope of Israel. What preceded creation? Water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our cleansing water, so to speak. The Torah preceded creation, and over time we have to let this water, drop by drop, drip by drip, element by element, mitzvah by mitzvah, chaser by chaser, kavana by kavana, tefillah by tefillah, penetrate into who we are. With that, you can break through even a heart of stone. We need to take these ideas and we need to live. Any questions or comments? We need to take these ideas and live with them, even if you need to repeat this fact. Oh, that's where we're up to for half a year or a year. So we started off by saying that it's definitely not half a year or a year. It's an avoda that never finishes. It's an avoda of a lifetime. But you truly work with it and acquire it, you will be happy and fortunate. Okay. Good. We're finishing a chapter soon. I don't know if tonight, but soon. So, what? I didn't say for sure. And second of all, you weren't here when I said Baruch Hashem. We've been learning for 3 years, Kenai Nahar. So in 3 years, we did this much. And so about two-thirds. Ali Shama said maybe this year we'll make a siyum. So Shani will say, we think we're making a siyum. I don't know. We'll see. Knowing you have acquired the Amuna, we must emphasize again and again. And here he's just going to repeat. I really do want to talk about a little bit what Shimshon Pinchas says on the sin of Adam. What was really the sin of Adam Arishon? It relates so much to our learning, because in our learning we're talking about constantly bringing Hashem into our lives all the time. So I do want to tell you what Pinchas says about the sin of Adam Arishon. We are right now going into Parshas Noach. Last week, of course, was Bereishis. Back to the beginning. We must emphasize again and again that the primary obstacle in Avodah is the haste with which we attempt to advance. When a person is truly in touch with his heart, he will relate to it properly, teach it patiently, even 400 times. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. As a Prater taught it to his student, we saw the Gemara. And this way he will be privileged to acquire a true level. So you really need to be in touch with your heart, and you need to be in touch with your emotion, you need to be in touch with your neshama, and you need to be patient. And remember we said that you need patience for who? The inner child within. Kachnas bincha sichidcha shara hafta. Take your child within. So we'll discuss more concepts, but you shouldn't be ready to put them into action yet. Take what we have said, apply this first stage to your life. By the way, not just me. Note at which point he's telling you we're at the first stage. Look at what the Mechaber is telling you. Look how much of the Sefer we've been through. Sefer Aleph, Sefer Beis, and look where he is. You're still in the first stage. Just take what we've said. Apply this first stage to your life. As to the ideas to follow, learn them in order, get the bigger picture of the proper way to live. It can take years until everything can be put into action. You need clarity concerning the existence of the Creator. And here's where I'm going to talk about Adam, because if you would think there would be anyone who had more clarity vis-a-vis his relationship with God, who would it be? Man and woman in the Garden of Eden. Before sin, the way Hashem planned to have his Shechina in the world, the Medrash says, is Iker Shechina Batachtonim. Hashem was supposed to dwell, so to speak, down here with man. After sin, Vayishmus Kol Hashem Elokim Misalech Began LeRuach Hayom, what do they hear? Hashem is leaving. Why is he leaving? Iker Shechina Ba'al Yonim, the essence of the Shechina would be above, because God cannot dwell in the presence of sin. When we sin, the greatest consequence of sin is the distance it puts between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We forget that. If we would remember that, we wouldn't what?
We wouldn't sin.
What's the problem in the moment when the Nachash comes walking? You don't remember. The Nachash haya arvu mikol chayis asada, sha'asa Hashem Elokim. He's so cunning that you forget that God's going to leave your garden if you sin. We forget. You have to have such clarity concerning the existence of the Creator. Look at that statement. Who should have more clarity concerning the existence of the Creator than Adam and Chava? So on the one hand, I don't know if there's another hand, it's a little bit frightening, because if Adam and Chava could what?
Screwed up.
Mess it up. Is there anyone with more inner clarity concerning the existence of the Creator? I mean, it was so clear.
Well, same thing with Mitzrayim. They lived there. They saw these miracles. My goodness. I
think miracles. Miracles can be attributed to Teva.
Not those kind of miracles. This was Eva.
What can't be attributed to Teva?
What happened in Mitzrayim couldn't be attributed to Teva.
You can't. You can attribute a plague of frogs to Teva. You can attribute. It was actually, excuse me, it was actually done b'derech
hateva. No, there were animals that did not exist in those kind of climates.
Environments, right,
and
I know.
No, it was not derech hateva, it was totally...
Animals, a plague of beasts can be explained according to teva.
Blood all over. Can be a,
what?
Blood all over.
So the blood, I'm having a little trouble saying, can that be teva? Frogs for sure can be. Lice
frogs
can be.
Oven, frogs in
excuse. Lahavda of Alfe of Dolly.
There were frogs. I mean, this was like really
weird. A skeptic?
They saw mun. I mean,
they saw what?
Mun.
Mun?
Mun.
After it seems
to
be
mun. Mun.
The mun.
Mun.
Manna.
Manna, mun.
Mun, food from heaven.
Food.
But that's all they knew.
Their clothes grew. Yeah, but this is, oh, what do you mean that's all they knew? They knew what it was to starve to death in Mitzrayim. They knew what it was
not
to
children.
Eat.
So what are you saying? That how could they sin?
This was a generation that messed up in the desert after they saw all this. You worried
it's
about
called Dar Hadea.
Look how much more so.
Oh, Adam and Chava, you can't compare to Mitzrayim.
I need to say something.
They lived less than 24 hours,
but they were right.
I need to say
something.
They saw him. They heard him. There was no one else.
I need to say something.
I know.
I think I said, did I say I want to talk about Adam's first sin? I didn't say specifically I want to talk about the Eitz Hadas.
Yeah.
But I want to relate it to the Eitz Hadas. But you said something about the generation of the desert sin, so I just said under my breath, sort of. I don't know if anyone heard me. Did anyone hear what I said? They're called Dor Hadea. I said they're called Dor Hadea. What's very interesting about what I just said is that the Eitz Hadas led to sin, and they had such clarity. Who had more clarity than Adam and Chava? So you brought up Dor HaMidbar, but Dor HaMidbar is also known as Dor Hadea. So we see that Da'as can actually be, it has a good side and a bad side. What's the Eitz Hadas called?
Tov
Vira.
about. We've been talking that, like, it's not the intellectual knowing of Hashem.
What?
We've been sorry, I talk fast.
You don't have to be sorry, it's me.
We've been talking about that. We've been saying that it's not the intellectual knowledge of God, it's the emotional it's the emotional knowledge of God.
Very nice.
It's not das in the sense of, like, having, you know, a library full of stuff. It's like having, like, coming through.
Very, very nice. So Joanna is saying is that, because I have a different friend named Joanne, what Joanna is saying is that you could have daya from here till tomorrow. You could be Albert Einstein in terms of daya. You could see miracles, maybe they're teva, maybe they're miracles. You could have clarity on the level of knowledge in regard to God, but where's your heart? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Like, I guess it's also a little bit comforting that, like, you don't need to be brilliant person and you don't need to be a genius.
No, you absolutely do not.
Right.
You could be very scholarly and be an Epicurus.
Right, so I think it's comforting almost that, like,
Hashem wants the heart. So I just thought of a pasuk when you were saying that also that relates so nicely. Shivchi kamayim libech. We're back to
water.
Pour out your heart like water. Access the primordial waters of creation. Access the Torah. Access the mikvah of Hashem and give him your heart. So we see that da'as alone, without emuna peshuta in your tafkidir, can become very dangerous. You see it by Adam and Chava, and you brought up Dar Hadeya, and you see it by them also. Yes, even though, one second, Lashav, I still stand by what I said, because Lamaisa, much of what they witness can be attributed to Teva, and in fact, if you look by Kriyas Yamsuf, it says that the Ruach Kadim Aza blew all through the night. After it blew all through the night, the water split. Hashem did the miracle in a way of Teva. There was a tsunami about 15 years ago in the Indian Ocean, and it was so unbelievable to me when I read it, because witnesses says, did anyone see? You could look it up and see. It was so fascinating that the water drew back. They didn't know what was going on. The fish were flopping on the mud. Like, for a mile, there was no water. And tourists and kids were playing on the damp sandbanks.
It also happened, I believe, with
the recent
hurricane. There are pictures in Florida where...
Oh, I would like to see. So there is situations where water does draw back. So I am still saying that it can be according to Teva, but even if you want to say it was such revealed miracles, but we see it's Das, relates to what Joanna said, and it was called Eitz Das Tov Vira. Yes, Elishava.
So I heard something about Parshas Noah, that Noah was building the Teva for 120
years
and was telling everybody, he was the one who was telling everybody about what was going on, and then he himself didn't even go in until the water was up here. How is it that he, you know, didn't think to go in before that? That he had to wait until then. He didn't believe, and it says, I think Rashi says, "Mamin ve'eno mamin,"
right?
Because intellectually he knew, but he didn't feel it.
Very good, beautiful example. Perfect.
Yes.
Rashi calls him. One second. Af Noach miketane amana haya ma'amin ve'eno ma'amin sheyavo amava. That's very, very profound. Af Noach. So what you're saying is perfect. The one, it's verse 14, it's Pasuk Yudal, where Rashi says he built for 120 years. So that means God comes to him at 480. Beautiful example. It's perfect. It relates exactly what we're saying. Build a teva. So he builds it till he's 600. When he's 600, the waters start. And it says he goes into the table with Pnei Me'abav. So how could he say he's Miktane Emar? He has a little bit of faith. He spent 120 years. He didn't go into the Teva. Ad Shadachku Amayim. He didn't go in because Hashem said, I'm going to bring the Me'abav. When the water's up to his waist, he says, you know, maybe the flood's really coming. So here's someone who Hashem gave explicit instructions, and he even goes through the motions. And yet, he's Miktane Emar. He's one of little faith, because of what you're saying. He had the da'as, but maybe he didn't have the heart. Yeah, is that the example? Perfect example, yeah.
And to follow that, piggyback it exactly on that same line of thought, I heard that the Dorer HaMavol were also, they knew, they were aware, because why would they have been so angry? They wanted to block Noah from going on the Teva.
Yeah.
And when they, if they didn't believe in Hashem, they would have just laughed and said, oh, he's just person.
Oh, you mean he's a crazy person? The fact that
they got angry and wanted to block him from going on the table was they believed it would happen.
Why didn't they fight to get in?
Why didn't they what?
Fight to get in, if they believed.
Why didn't they
try to get into the table if they believed?
Why did they
not try to get into
who? The people? Because it's a Rashi from the end of the Chumash. It's from right at the end of Hazinu, when Hashem tells Moshe to go up to the mountain, Be'etzem HaYam HaZeh. So Rashi says there three times it says Be'etzem HaYam HaZeh. Once by Noach, once by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Actually, here we go back to Dor HaMidbar, Yotzei Mitzrayim. Once by Yitzias Mitzrayim, once by Moshe. The people said in the time of Noach, I don't have a Devarim, so I can't call you, don't get up. The Lashon of Rashi is that the people said, Bekach, Bekach, we swear, if we see him going into the Teva, we're going to break it down with sledge hammers and axes. We're not going to let him in. So Hashem said, you're going to do it. I'm going to put him in the middle of the very day. So when push came to shove, they couldn't get in the Teva. Maybe they're ones who didn't make it in time. But what you're saying is,
they knew.
On some level, they knew that Hashem was going to bring a Teva. Otherwise, why would they threaten to break the Teva? They wouldn't care. The crazy person could build 100 arcs. Who cares? The fact that they threatened to break it down means, on an intellectual level, they knew the flood was going to come. Okay, very nice. That's very cool. I hadn't seen that. Thank you. Very, very interesting. It was for a few hours. Outer winds blew from the northeast, which is very interesting because by Kriyas Yamsuvu was the Ruach Kadim Aza, pushing the water out to the Gulf of Mexico for a few hours. Tampa locals had the rare chance to walk, run, and play on the floor of the bay. One stretch of the bay was 6 feet below normal tide. When you look by Yam Suf, it doesn't say it was dry land. It says it was damp land. Just pointing out that a skeptic will always find room. I'm not saying anyone at the table. Maybe you can't relate to this because you're in a higher level of Amunah, but a skeptic finds rooms in Teva to write things off.
But why does that
That's so cool.
Mitzrayim is mentioned everywhere.
We talk
about Mitzrayim a million times a day. In all our davening.
Because Rav Pinkas says, why? Because Mitzrayim Bereishis is in the beginning of us as a nation. Rav Pinkas says Mitzrayim is the beginning of our nation. But
then it says later okay. That he stopped doing miracles. And he uses Mitzrayim as an example. That it wasn't Teva. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not important.
Listen, they have in Alaska periods where the sun never sets and then periods where the sun never rises. I'm just pointing out, I'm not trying to like argue here, Chas v'Shalom, that the miracles are miracles when a person appreciates the miracle and sees them. Otherwise, Rav Soloveitchik says it's a wasted miracle.
But that's
exactly why they didn't establish the Nes of Hanukkah till the next year. Because when it happened, the question is, how will it impact people? Will we change from the miracle? Will we be the same people and go, very nice, the oil lasted, and now we go back to who we are? Or will we allow it to change us? So we have to recognize the miracle. It's a side nekuda.
Well, that's why not everybody left Mitzrayim. A very small percentage left.
You're right.
Those that recognized. And later on it says that Hashem stopped doing miracles, that only things b'teva, because we didn't deserve it anymore. So
okay.
He uses Mitzrayim and the Makos as an example of miracles, real miracles.
Okay. And yet, you see that 4/5 did not believe and want to go out. So what does that prove to you? That not everyone recognizes a miracle. So we're back to what we said before.
But that doesn't mean it wasn't a miracle.
So what I was saying about Adam, I said they didn't recognize the miracle. That's what I said. Not that it wasn't a miracle, that they didn't recognize the miracle.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu
Melech Olam
Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
And
thank you. Come. I think we're saying the same thing. I really do.
Okay.
I'm not sure what we're arguing about, but I don't mean arguing in a bad way. I mean mechilkas l'shem shemayim. Okay, so since we're talking about this Eitz Hadas, what's so interesting is Malki, based on what you brought up, it really relates to Dar Hadeya also. So I want to tell you what Soloveitchik says about this Eitz Hadas. Why did I want to bring it up specifically here? Because the sentence that we last read was, once you've attained inner clarity concerning the existence of the Creator and think of Him, you may continue onward. So Joanna, what would you say the Mechaber here is saying? First, you have the Da'as of Hashem before you can move on to internalizing the concept. So that's what he's going to talk about next, internalizing the concept. You first have to know there's Hashem before you could even internalize. If you don't know He's there, you can't internalize it. So you need the Das, but what we're saying is that Das isn't enough. Das alone can be told. That's cool. Das can be told if the emotive experience follows, and it can also be Ra if you stop at the level of intellect. You could be a Bible scholar who doesn't believe in God. It could be. That's why what you said is true. It has nothing to do with how smart you are to be an Eved Hashem. It has to do with your level of dveikus and emunah. And Elishava, who's Elishava, brought up a great comment. Noach's a perfect example of that. He clearly had the das of God. But how could you say he's miktane amana? Because something internal must have been lacking. Okay, so let me tell you what Rav Soloveitchik says. One second before we go back to the Sefer. Let me tell you what Rav Soloveitchik says on the eighth Hadas. Now, the pasuk that he is talking about says, okay, Vateri ha'isha ki tov ha'etz lema'achal. The woman saw that the tree is good for eating. V'chi taiva hu le'enayim. It is desirable to the eyes. Taiva is a very strong word, which denotes physical pleasure. V'nechmar ha'etz lahaskil. The tree is nechmar, pleasant to contemplate. She takes from the fruit, she eats it, and she gives it to her husband with her, and he eats it. So what I was saying is there anyone who had more clarity about the existence of the Creator? And they had one mitzvah. How hard do you think it could be to keep mitzvah means, you say to kids, you did a good mitzvah, we think it means you did a good thing. That's not what it means, mitzvah, they're commanded, they had one thing to do. That's why it's a little sobering, like Susan said, if they could mess up, what should I say? It's frightening. It tells us about the weakness of the human condition. And how sin is almost built into Maisa Bereishis.
Hashem allowed it. He allowed us to have the choice.
Oh, so that goes back to Bechira.
He didn't like say, okay, I'm not going to.
But doesn't that go back to Bechira? What do we mean Hashem allowed it? They had free choice because we have free choice.
But that's what the difference between a mama and an adam was. We are a physical being. He made us a physical being. He created the satan, or the nachash.
So interesting. Someone at the Nautilus came over to me after the shiur today, a lecture, and she said to me, so could we say that the snake is the satan? I said, yes. Okay, so go on.
No, so I'm saying, so he created it within this world. He created many, many, many things. And in order for us to grow and get where we have to get.
Yeah, we have to conquer that nachash.
We have to keep pushing back. So they failed. A certain test that maybe was their first test, and they failed. But that doesn't mean that Hashem will not give us other tests, and we might do okay, we might fail, but our growth is dependent on that satan. Because if we wouldn't have that satan, then we would always be good.
Yes, but Hashem doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to battle the satan and overcome.
Correct. Otherwise, we're not perfect beings. He didn't create us. He created us in his image that we could reach and get closer to him, which he wants.
But that's by overcoming Satan.
Right.
But they didn't overcome. Correct. They succumbed. They didn't overcome, they succumbed. And that's the problem.
But that's why.
And after they succumb, they can't even own up. There's a lack of tshuva. Because everyone's blaming. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
Right.
Okay, let me tell you what the Rav says about this tree. The tree of knowledge, by the way, it's really cool. They were talking about Eitz Hadas, and he brought up the generation, Dor Hadea. The tree of knowledge is described in purely aesthetic categories. So there is nothing ruchnius or spiritual about this tree. The way the Pasuk describes it, it is a purely aesthetic object. Amen. First of all, taiva. It says about the tree, Vatera Isha Kita, Vichi Taiva Hu Leinayim. Taiva is such a strong word. Taiva is a strong physical desire that overtakes a person. Usually in regard to a man and a woman, Taiva, says the Rav, is a moment of lust. It is invincible, hypnotic desire. That spells ethical atrophy. Ethical atrophy, when a limb atrophies, it doesn't work anymore. That means ethically, you've atrophied an indifference. Taiva, she sees a taiva in the tree, is a moment of lust, invincible, hypnotic desire that spells ethical atrophy and indifference. Nechmad, attractiveness, fascination. You understand that we're not really talking about a tree, but we're talking about any object that seduces us to sin, or that we allow ourselves to be seduced by. It's not only a tree. This sin represents each and every one of us. Anytime we are seduced, or we allow ourselves to be seduced. Nechmad, I always said Nechmad. Ilklus actually translates lahaskil, to look at, as istalkabe, to look at. One second, please. What would you think lahaskil really means? What's the root word? Seichel. What does seichel mean?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, or to think about. Except that Unkos tells us it's not knowledge. It means nachmar ha'itz lahaskil. It's the tree is pleasant to look at. Umirageg ilana li'istakla. It's pleasant to look at. But lahaskil, we think, means seichel. So what happens to her dea here? It's visual apprehension. It denotes the eye. In light of this interpretation, of this whole interpretation, taiva, nechmad, lahaskil, this seduction by the physical senses, the noun da'as takes on a new meaning. It does not refer to das in the cognitive sense. When we think of das, we think of cognitive sense of understanding. But it refers rather to an aesthetic subject-object relationship. I am the subject, the fruit is the object, and there is an aesthetic relationship, and I am seduced by the beauty and the desire and the hedonic sense of the tree, hedonic knowledge. Am I pronouncing the word right? Hedonic? The Greeks were hedonic people. What makes you feel good is what you should do. Eitz hadas tov v'ra means the tree of foreknowledge of the pleasant and unpleasant, or the tree of anticipating the agreeable and the disagreeable. The Eitz Hadas is not only knowledge up here, but it is transferred into foreknowledge of what is pleasant to man and what is unpleasant to man, what is agreeable to man and what is disagreeable to man. However, when we allow our Das to be confused, sometimes we don't know what's agreeable and what's disagreeable. And sometimes we don't really know what's pleasant and what is unpleasant. Those lines become blurred. It is a tree of aesthetic motivation, of orgiastic tension, the acquisition of the pleasure impulse. When you look at the way the tree is described, it sounds so strongly like two human beings who desire to be together, but it's a tree, but it's not really a tree. It's this level of das that is no longer positive. It is a warped sense of knowledge. Eve, Chava, Isha became hypnotized. She could not resist the spell of the tree. She was drawn to it like a magnet. Isn't that what happens to us when we sin? So can't you say, what about my inner clarity concerning the existence of the Creator? Don't I think of Him every half hour? I would say I think of God pretty often. I'm like constantly having an ongoing dialogue with Hashem. Hashem, help me to be successful at this. Hashem, help me find the parking spot. Hashem, give me the right words to say. Hashem, I need to get through Gurman Gak quickly. I'm like constantly having a running dialogue with Hashem. I'm not saying it's about God. I'm telling you a fact. But maybe it's only my Das. I don't know, because then what happens when I sin? How could it be that you're having this running dialogue with God? I'm sure that the women here also talk to Hashem on a regular basis. This isn't an unusual thing. I was talking to Hashem, but yeah, what happens in the moment of sin? We too have the taiva and the nechmar and the haskil and the gazing. And she is seduced by the tree. Yeah. You want to say something?
Oh, I think it's like a different conversation. Like your rationalization and your logic is sort of like the tree and the desire, and all of a sudden your knowledge, your logic sort of takes on a whole new...
So what's the rationalization? We rationalize the sin?
Yeah. Well, why else would anyone sin? Oh, look at this. Let's just take an example of a piece of cake. I'm on a diet. Just this one. It's not going to
So count. What do you say? So so that's indicated in Eitz Hadas?
Tovara, where the lines become blurred between what is right and what is wrong.
Oh, you mean the way of Salvechik defines the
Correct.
Tree, what is pleasing and not pleasing, we're not even sure anymore.
You become all...
The tree of foreknowledge of pleasant and unpleasant, or agreeable and disagreeable, we sort of start to not know what is even agreeable and disagreeable.
Yeah, I think it was more...
One second, what did Elishava say?
I said confused, not stupid, but just...
You become confused.
You get under a spell, you become confused. That you don't have, you lose clarity.
So we begin to lack the clarity. And he says, one second, she was hypnotized. She could not resist the spell of the tree, even though Hashem said, "Don't eat from it."
I think it was more the nachash. To me, the whole enticement was a nachash.
Say it again.
To me, the whole enticement, when I learn voracious, it's that nachash that I see as a person on legs, who is extremely convincing, telling her she's going to be a much better person, and she is going to really be a better Obey Hashem. She'll become closer to God. She'll be more God-like.
But Rav Shamsher Falher says something so profound.
That's like the tree. I didn't think it was the tree. I thought it was
but
more
the tree represents.
What the tree represents. Exactly.
One second. The tree represents the sin. The nachash represents the Yetzer Hara. They're
okay,
not the same thing.
The Yetzer
Hara brings us to sin.
No, I don't think the nachash was not the sin, but I'm saying I think that he, so I guess it was for Yetzer Hara.
But Shamsher Falher says,
say, it's okay.
Ladies,
you're going to be a better person. You're going to know right from wrong, like God.
When the pasuk says, you want to say something. What did you want to say?
I just wanted to say that seichel refers to discernment.
That what?
It's
seichel refers to discernment.
So if you're discerning, that inherently means there's a choice. And once there's a choice, it's kind of like a choice between what's right and wrong. If there's no choice, if it's everything's clear and Hashem is clear, there is no choice. You know exactly what to do.
Right.
Once you have discernment as an option, it means, oh, well, can I? And that's when the rationalization.
Okay, so what I remember I told you I want to say Rav Pinkus tells you. So Rav Pinkus really talks about what you just brought up. One second, please. Okay, you need to give me a couple minutes. I see what time is, but we actually started a couple minutes late. But this will really sum up the whole shiur and bring about all the points, bring together all the points we spoke about. Hashem commanded, I'm quoting from Shem Pinkus, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. What's Da'as? Why shouldn't Adam partake of it? What is wrong with Da'as? We've had a few different interpretations. We relate it to Dor HaMidbar. We've seen that Da'as alone is not sufficient to be an Eved Hashem. It can be Tov and Ra, however we translate Tov and Ra. A lot of exploration today. Da'as signifies the desire to know what's going on, to expand one's horizons, to know what's happening in the world at large. It means I don't want to be restricted to the confines of the Gemara and the Mishnayos in our language. I don't want to be constricted by what Hashem wants of me. I want endless expanse. I want to hear the news. Okay, this is Rav Pinkus. I want to read the newspaper. That's the Eitz Hadas. In other words, the Eitz Hadas is beyond the expansion of what Hashem's world, so to speak. I want endless expanse. But Hashem is only interested in one thing. The king is not interested in what the Eitz Hadas has to offer. God, so to speak, does not find the fruit tasty. Adam was forbidden to partake of the Eitz Hadas. Thus, Hashem is the central focus of life. Hashem is king. For Adam HaRishon, the fruit of this tree was forbidden more severely than pork for an ordinary Jew. Chazer is punishable by lashes. Eitz Hadas is punishable by death. One second. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. I'm skipping because I see what time it is. But I want to just... When Hashem said to him, Ayaka, where are you? What position are you taking? Are you with me or not? Why did you run away from me? What was Adam saying? I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I am naked, so I hid. Hashem says, where are you? Did you eat from the tree? And Adam gives this whole strange answer. I heard you. I'm afraid. I'm naked. I hid. What was Adam saying? Hashem, I heard you're looking for me, but I'm afraid. I'm naked. I'm an ordinary person. Adam was saying, I was just born today. I don't want to be with you, God, all the time. It's too much for me. So I hid. There are moments when I wish to hide from you. I'll meet you in Shofar Shachris. I'll meet you in the Beis Medrash. I'll meet you at Shir. But until then, until those times, let me live my life. Give me a little private space for myself. I don't want to overdo it in either direction. That's Eitz Hadas. I want to expand my boundaries past God in my life. So there are appointed times to meet with God, Kiva Moed. There are appointed times to be an observant Jew, an observant person. And then there are other times. What does that signify? And by Adam saying, I hid, v'ichave. One second. Eskolcha shamati begun. I heard you. V'ira, why did I hide? It's too much. I can't be with you all the time. Ki eira manochi, I'm naked. I don't always need to be clothed in mitzvahs, v'ichave. And so I hid. One second. Adam was willing to try at certain times to fulfill the will of the Creator. But not his entire life should revolve around Hashem alone. Yeah.
Okay, I heard this from Alphabet Institute, which is
Horman.
So Arom, the Nachash was Arom, he was cunning.
Right.
So if you take and plug in the Da'as that we've been talking about and say it in the same sentence, I hid because now he had das, now I am cunning. Now I just want to know you sometimes. And sometimes I want to do my own thing with my own thoughts.
So that's exactly what Pinchas is saying.
Yes.
Oh, so you're saying the same thing.
With that translation of arum is that I have the cunning now of the
Nachash. Right, Nachash Haya Arum Mikochai Sosa. Now Adam says he is also Abram. Yeah. So it's the exact same thing. No. Why was Adam saying, why did I hide? Why I can't be with you all the time. That's really sin. There are parts of life when I want to be with Abram, when I want to sit in the sukkah, when I want to take Arba Minim, when I want to do Echnas Zarchim, when I want to have a Yom Tov Bil, when I want to daven and show, when I want to dance at Kafos, not as whatever. That's what I want to be with you, God. But then there are other times. What does Pinchas say? I need some private time. Where are you? Ayaka, are you with me? And if Adam HaRishon would have answered, yes, I'm with you, I'm together with you, at that moment he would have seen the fulfillment of B'makom Shabali Teshuva Omdim, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. So it's not necessarily that he sinned, because you're saying God allowed the sin. It's what happens after the sin, and that's really us. He would have been atoned for. He would have merited living forever. Even though he ate from it. Had he said, I'm sorry, I really want to be with you all the time. I'm not hiding. I want to be with Hashem all the time. With my das and with my lev and my totali. And I'm not going to be a ketana yamana. All the things that we spoke about. I'm going to perceive miracles. It's not enough. It's not true. A miracle is a miracle if it changes us. So Salvechik speaks about this by the burning bush. The Medrash says that Moshe was with other shepherds, just like Avraham Avinu traveling to the Akedah was with Eliezer and Yishmael. And Avraham Avinu said, do you see a cloud on the mountain? They said, we don't see a cloud. And Moshe said to the other shepherds, do you see a bush that's burning and it's not being consumed? And they said, we don't see it. A miracle needs to be perceived by human beings. It needs to change us. What does nes mean? It means a banner. What good is a banner hanging up if nobody knows that there's a banner?
But Rashi says when they left Mitzrayim that the reason Amalek was so faulted, they wouldn't even give them water after the entire world saw Kriyas Yamsuf.
Okay.
So it does mention that they were the only ones that did not accept the nace, but it was very publicized. Everybody.
But nobody changed. But nobody changed.
I know.
One second. We're finishing up. Had he said, Hashem, I want to be with you all the time, no, but he did not respond. Instead, he said, I hid. And those were maybe, with this understanding, worse than eating from the Eitz Hadas itself. In other words, God, at davening times, I'm with you, but there are also moments when I hide from you. People have the Yetzer Hara. Some people, unfortunately, have the Yetzer Hara as their true king and center of their lives. The Yetzer Hara is the I want, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. And some people, unfortunately, their lives revolve around, I want to eat from the fruit, so when I'm a firm Jew, I'm going to be with you, and when I also need my private time. So das alone, we can find ourselves in big trouble. We need to make sure that drip by drip and drop by drop, the water penetrates into the innermost chambers of our heart so that in all times, not only do we recognize the miracles around us, but we want to let Hashem in and be with Him all the time. Amen. That's right. Yes. Anything else?
Why? Does it say anywhere, any of the parshim, why Hashem created the Eitz Hadas altogether? Like why, what if in the middle of Gan Eden?
Why?
Yeah.
So you could say,
because
you answered your question before. You said, because the purpose of man is to overcome our challenges. Why did Hashem make me with a taiva?
So that we would work.
Yeah. Why did Hashem put anything into this world that we're not allowed to have? We can't have it. Why is it here?
Right.